Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, America and around the world. The SRI Label Group, Wildlife Educational Services, and Blog Talk Radio presents Larry and Cheryl Batson discovering our wild world and the music of the SRI Label Group. It's time for animal tracks, wildlife conversation, and great music. Join us and enjoy Larry Batson's Wild World Animal Tracks.
Hello, everyone, from the remote jungles of Clinton Falls, Indiana. This is Larry Batson. Cheryl, I just swallowed a frog.
That's not good.
It's not good. We haven't even started. There is a frog in my throat. Want to remind everyone that the SRI, I can't even talk tonight. The SRI Label Group is our underwriter for Wild World's Animal Tracks on Blog Talk Radio. The SRI Label Group is for people that love all music, rock, jazz, blues, country. It's all there, artists in their classic recordings. Best of ELO, Little Richard Live, Chambers Brothers, Hall & Oates. Catalog of thousands of recordings available for download or just to listen to. Explore an amazing music collection at the best musical site, the SRI Label Group. Check it out today, srirecords.com. And from the SRI Records collection, here's a little Ray Brown on a Saturday night on Animal.
Because I
so fine. If she'd ever leave me, I would lose my mind. Got the kind of loving, kissing and a hugging. Sure, he's mellow. Planned that on my belly, and I know, cause she knocked me off my feet. Have mercy on me, cause she knocked me off my feet. There is no girl in the whole world that can love me like you do. Kissing and hugging,
SRI Jazz is proud to present their newest release, This is Ray Brown Jr. That's right, Ella Fitzgerald's son continues to entertain audiences with his warm and charming vocals, making this one of the best vocal jazz albums of the year. Here are some sample tracks from the album. Visit our website to hear all of them in their entirety. Just go to srirecords.com or click on the banner in your media player now.
It's wonderful, marvelous, you should care for me. Awful nights, paradise, what I love to see. My baby, when she walks by, all the bells go, I know why. Simply 'cause that girl's so fine. If she'd ever leave me, I'd lose my mind. She's got the kind of loving, kissing and a hugging. Sure, he's mellow. Glad that I'm a feather, and I know, cause she knocked me off my feet. Have mercy on me. I know for certain, one I love. I'm through with flirting. It's you that I'm thinking of. Ain't misbehaving. Say, take the A train to go to Sugar Hill, way up in all.
You've been listening to a few sample tracks from the new album, This is Ray Brown Jr. You can hear all the songs in their entirety at srirecords.com. Support jazz music today at srirecords.com. Consideration provided by SRI Jazz.
A great way to spend the day can be summed up in one little word. Mom. Radio Mom. 91.1 FM.
Brandi Lawson is a proud graduate of Ball State University in Muncie, Indiana. Majoring in broadcasting and communications, Ball State has been prestigious alumni such as TV's David Letterman and Randy Lawson. Randy has also done all aspects of radio, such as the morning drive to laying down the song tracks that will be aired as a program director for stations in several markets. Now he's gone on to be the owner of radio stations throughout the Midwest. He is fearless when it comes to creating formats for stations and proved it when he changed the format of one particular station on weekends only. That is unheard of. It would grow to become Rewind Weekend, from the teen top 40 hits through the week to classic hits of the 70s, 80s, and 90s on Saturdays and Sundays. If broadcasting is your passion around, because there's no one as passionate about the communication field as Randy Lawson. Good evening, Randy.
Man, I want to meet that guy. That's a glowing testimony, Larry.
Oh, well, hey. heck with all that stuff. We want to talk about the new dog
Yeah, by the way, thanks for having me on the show. I appreciate it. They're in the middle of a little tiff right now. I've got a little Chihuahua, and she's having none of the new dog, which is chocolate lab basset hound mix, and so she's got the short legs, the tipped out feet, but she looks just like a chocolate lab, and pretty much has the personality of one too.
Well, that's good. That's fantastic.
But she likes to play and tease the little Chihuahua.
Imagine that. Gosh, I've never heard of such a thing.
Well, the Chihuahua will
put up the name. Chihuahua has no patience.
No.
Cheryl.
No, not at all.
Cheryl's a veteran of Chihuahuas. That's her mom on the long-haired Chihuahua. It was special.
Oh, my goodness.
This is a long-haired Chihuahua as well.
It is? What's its name?
Yeah.
What's
well, its name,
name
is Sugar, but because of its recent personality traits with that it's been displaying with the new dog Lucy, I've nicknamed it Carney. So.
Oh.
Oh. Oh my God! The dog has no chance now. Its future is so bleak.
Yeah, know that the Chihuahua has amazing lion heart, because the one that my mother, when she passed, we took in. I heard it barking on its first outside excursion, and where I found it was barking at the bears. And this thing was smaller than, you know,
it's poop.
What they eat. Yeah. And you know, people say that your Chihuahua will be fine.
We'll
be back to Sugar, Bossy Sugar, probably.
Yeah. And
what's
the new puppy's name?
Lucy.
Well, that's right.
She goes by Lucy Goosey, but I'll tell you, here's the funny thing. I have cameras inside the house, and every now and then I'll check on them. And the new dog, Lucy, will lay by the door that I come in and out of. She'll lay by that door waiting on me. And now the Chihuahua is laying about 3 feet from her. Now, I don't know if that's because she wants to be the first to get attention when I come in the door and box Lucy out, or if it's because she's just starting to buddy up with Lucy. You guys would know that probably.
Well, how does she respond once you go into the door?
Well, they're all excited, you know. They're all, and they don't fight.
It's dominant. You have to find the alpha of the two. She's quite a bossy one.
And Lucy Goosey doesn't care whether it's the alpha or not. I guarantee that.
I don't think so. But I've got a little Minpin who has been the alpha dog, but she's old now. She's almost 16 years old, and so she doesn't have much to be alpha with anymore. She's about half blind and can't smell and can't hear, and so she gets bossed around by the new dog a little bit.
Uh-oh. Well, you'll have to deal with that, though. Yeah. You'll have to tell her no. Tell me, Lucy.
Yeah.
No.
What did you say when he told about his dog's poor age problems? What did you say, Cheryl?
What? Like you?
Like me.
Oh, my gosh.
Don't encourage me. Like, we're talking to Randy Lawson, broadcasting megastar, mogul. How many stations are you in on now?
Three stations.
My gosh.
WRBI in Batesville. I'm a minority owner there, and also part owner of WIRE, Radio Mom in Lebanon. And North Indy, and then there's a station that I'm co-owner with several other guys in Hawaii. It's Star 94.3, and it's on the island of Kauai, and it's an adult contemporary station. WRBI is country, and as you know, Radio Mom is top 40 during the week, and then on the weekends we do that rewind thing that everybody keeps trying to talk me into doing that 7 days a week, but. I don't know. I'm not convinced yet, but I sure like it on the weekends.
It's good.
Oh, it's fan. I am so, when I look at the playlist and all the songs we put in there, and man, it's awesome. I mean, I've had people.
Well,
my nieces in Virginia, they listen to it on the web, radiomom.fm, all the time. And
yeah, we did some testing, and one of the most popular songs we play is A Taste of Honey, Sukiyaki.
Oh, you're right. It's not. Oh, my God. I have to apologize every time I play that song. Just because.
That's why I said that, because I know you do.
Just because
I love that song. I think it's a pretty song, though. Don't you think it's a pretty song, Cheryl?
No. I mean, yeah, it's absolutely.
No?
Yeah. Oh, I can't lie.
Maybe Cheryl's a rocker. I don't know.
No, I don't know.
Well,
maybe I need to listen to it again.
No. We don't need to
a
listen.
A few more times.
Well, you know what I used to really gripe about? Oh, by the way, people may not know, but I'm on every night, 6 to midnight, radiomom.fm, bringing the hits and the rewind weekend on the weekends.
And Sukiyaki.
And the Sukiyaki song. My God. But what they took a delight in earlier when I was just doing Sundays, when the previous owner was in charge, I think the crew knew how much I hated the Bobby Goldsboro song, Honey. And I look on my list, and it would be there a half a dozen times over a six-hour period. I'm going, wait a minute. Something about this ain't right.
You feel like it was a setup?
I don't think it was a setup. I know it was a setup, but they knew. Jesus Christ. We're talking to Randy Lawson. Of course, SRI Records Label Group is our underwriter. So they sent me a pretty cool tune here, Randy, a little Ray Charles. We love us some Ray Charles, don't we?
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, well, here's Ray Charles doing the Beatles thing from Revolver, Eleanor Rigby.
Hi, everyone. This is Shelley Leibowitz, and you're listening to my friends Cheryl and Larry Batson on Animal Tracks here on Blog Talk Radio.
I mean, Randy Lawson is our guest, and I screwed up the opening so bad, I've got to do it over. You know what I'm saying, Cheryl? Yeah. I'm going to try this again, because Cheryl writes me a note that says, slow down. And she's absolutely right.
You're acting like that kid on the news.
I'm acting about what kid on the news that talks so quick?
You know, the one that just had a
birthday. Oh, Phil Sanchez? Well, that's because he talks fast at the beginning because he's drank so much caffeine.
Oh, okay. Is that what you're
doing? Yeah, it's about 45-minute mark of an hour of broadcast, he starts to slow down. No, caffeine's on the seat tonight. It's just, wait a minute, I swallowed that frog again. Hang on.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll tell you right now, there's nothing better in the world than Crystal Light sweet green tea.
Yeah,
I am goofy. Here, I'm going to try again. Take two. Randy Lawson is a proud graduate of Ball State University in Muncie, Indiana, majoring I can't get through it. I'll send you the script, Randy.
Cheryl may have to just take over. Bring it.
No.
Bring Elizabeth in. Bring Elizabeth in. She could do it.
Well, she did do it. We had a guest on. We had a guest scheduled on, I should say, a while back. And he didn't show up. He's noted broadcaster Pat O'Brien. He stood me up. He said he had the flu. I think he had the Budweiser flu. But I'm not saying that for sure. I'm thinking that's what happened. So Elizabeth came in and played a little concert on the piano. That could happen tonight. We're not making any promises.
Yeah.
But it's a different type of jazz she plays. And it's pretty retro.
I'd be okay with that.
Yeah. Well, we might do that. I'd
be honored to have Elizabeth join the show.
Well, I don't know if honored is the right word. Yeah, it's honored. Absolutely. Okay, I'm ready now. I think I killed all the frogs, not intentionally. Randy Lawson is a proud graduate of Ball State University in Muncie, Indiana. Majoring in broadcasting and communications, Ball State has such prestigious alumni as TV's David Letterman and radio's Randy Lawson. Randy has done all aspects of radio, such as the morning drive, to laying out the song tracks that will be aired as a program director for several stations in several markets. Now he's gone on to be an owner of a radio station throughout the Midwest. He is fearless when it comes to creating formats for stations and proved it when he changed the format of one of his stations on weekends only. That is unheard of. It would grow to become Rewind Weekend for the teen top 40 hits through the week. The classic hits of the 70s, 80s, and 90s on Saturdays and Sundays. If broadcasting is your passion, stick around, because there's no one as passionate about the communication field as Randy Lawson. All right! All right! I threw that sucker.
I'm
saying. You know, there was a lot of big words with more than one syllable.
You, Larry Batson, are a blog master.
I've been called lots of things, but never one of them before. So what's more fun now? Owning radio station and doing all the stuff involved with that, or just going in and doing the shows? Now, I'm talking fun. I'm not talking work.
Yeah, I'll be honest. Going in and just doing a show is a lot more fun. owning a station is rewarding in a lot of ways. It's nice to be able to help provide an income for people and provide a service for the community and finally do some of what you want to do, but you're never really your own boss. You know how that works. You are at the mercy of your staff and your listeners and your advertisers. So you're still constricted to a degree, but you sure have a lot more freedom as an owner than you would as, you know, somebody just working there. But yeah, it's a lot more fun just to come in and do a shift. I remember those days working at Bill Shirk's station, WVRK, in Muncie. And I would show up and do an air shift and do some production afterwards and leave. And a full day was typically, you know, 5 or 6 hours.
Yeah. Well, I know that feeling. I was always, as Cheryl will tell you, when we go out and do things with Jim Fowler, you know, the old co-host of Beach of All's, Omaha's Wild Kingdom, they would ask him to bring animals, these various speaking engagements all over the country, with zoos, nature parks, organizations like the Illinois State Veterinarian Association. We went up and did a program. Well, it was the first program we ever did with him at the Field Museum in Chicago. Talk about a whole theater full of veterinarians. That was pretty wild. But, yeah, they'd always ask him to bring the animals, and he doesn't have any animals. So he'd always call us and or someone else in the vicinity. And I'd always resent it when we go to zoos because the zoo people, they always act kind of high and mighty, like they were one step above you. And I'm thinking to myself, all you do is go into work, clock in, do your daily chores that you're supposed to do. You don't have to worry about providing the money for the food for the animals. Yeah, and every expense that's also involved with it. They care. You know, they just, you know, I commonly call them zoobers. I had no respect for them at all.
Well, what does an owner call you, DJers?
What, owner call us DJers?
Yeah.
They probably do, or losers. What Bill said, Bill Shirk said once, he says, radio personalities are the lowest form of the entertainment industry.
Well, you know, you were talking about the stresses of having your own wildlife habitat there and providing food for them and everything. There was a place when I grew up in Muncie called the Mies Zoo.
Oh, yeah.
Are you familiar with that?
Yeah, well, we knew Max really well. In fact, he came to a couple of our shows when we were down in the general area.
School show.
Yeah,
I don't think he's around anymore, is he?
No, he passed from. He had some form of cancer, and darn it, I can't remember what it was. But no, he passed several years ago.
It's not open anymore.
So did you get any of his animals?
No, he didn't really. They were going to place, we didn't really have a desire for. Let's say, and
we have to be able to eat. School.
Yeah, and a lot of them were handable. And if it's an older type animal, then you're pretty much up a creek. Yeah, and even the ones that aren't fair handling animals, that doesn't mean they'll do well for you. I can remember we had a jaguar for a couple of years named Ed, and we did lots of school programs with him. And when we set him off, I talked to the guy like a month later, and he said, what did you do with that jaguar? I said, well, he was one of our school animals. He goes, you're kidding me. That thing will eat you up. I said, you really? Once we put it in their truck, they couldn't do anything with it. So that's pretty much true.
When you raise them, they become your kid. They know what they ought to trust you. They trust you. Thing, I think.
Well, there's one little tip I didn't tell him that we used to do with him when he'd lose it, when he'd get very, very angry and upset with us, which he would do sometimes.
Because
he was a jaguar. Of all the largest cats, they have the strongest jaws. They can carry their own body weight plus up a tree to consume their prey.
Yummy.
But anyway, when he was really mad, I'd stick my hand in his mouth.
Yeah, that's everybody does.
So that just threw him off. Go, what in the world? You know, and I was going to tell him, I said, well, if he's really upset, just stick your hand in there.
Sure.
And then they would have went, yeah, right. That makes a whole lot of sense there, buddy. But anyway.
Yeah.
So do you remember, this is a stupid question, you remember the first radio gig you had, Randy?
I sure do. And I had the entire show on cassette. The girl I was dating at the time in high school recorded the entire, really sweet, but I was typical guy and very immature at the time. I really didn't appreciate what she had done, but she had recorded the entire show on cassette and put it in one of those books, those vinyl cassette books, you know?
Yeah. The
cassettes lined up on each side. They used to sell those back in the late 70s, early 80s. And she placed all the cassettes in there, had it labeled and everything. I had that, and when I went in the military, it disappeared. It was stored in my mom's house. But I remember the show very clearly. I was so nervous, and every time I opened the mic, I kept saying, "That, of course, was," and I denounced the song. "That, of course, was." And I got that phrase from David Letterman because he used to use that phrase all the time. "That, of course, that, of course." And I was so nervous. It was horrible. And I wish I could have found the tapes because they were pretty funny.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the first I had a whole television segment I did with Bill Shirk for a show, Carolyn Churchman. And I watched that, and I go, "God, I was bad." I mean, every word was like trying to be drug out of my mouth. It was, oh, it was pathetic. And you look back at those days, and what the heck were you ever afraid of, you know? That's what's wild about it all.
Yeah, I mean, I look at the stuff you do with Channel 8 now, and you do a great job, just very natural, very comfortable on set, very funny. And the same thing with Radio Mom, you know, when we first purchased the station, and I heard you doing the weekend thing, the 80s thing, and I thought, this guy's pretty good. Why isn't he on all the time? And so, you know, we opened up evenings to you. I thought it'd be perfect. And it's worked out really good.
Yeah, well, it's a blast. I mean, it's I have a lot of fun.
He doesn't like to do anything that, you know, he doesn't like to get out there or anything, so...
Yeah, right.
Yeah, you know.
I don't need my ego constantly fed, do I?
No.
Yeah.
No.
That's true. But like Cheryl acknowledged, with the good radio people, it's, you know, you're talking to a wall, and you have to make it sound like you're talking to that particular person who happens to be tuned in to listen to you.
Yeah, you have to be in the moment, even when it's not the moment.
Yeah.
Makes it hard.
Yeah, you do.
Sure.
So
you do, and when you first start out, it takes you a while to, you know, I've heard people say, and it probably is true, it takes you several years to find your niche or find your personality. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Where you're comfortable at. So it took me a couple years, yeah.
Because you don't want the radio, the disc jockey voice.
You don't want the puker voice. Hey,
what
how you doing?
Yeah. 91.1.
Oh,
exactly.
I went to a reduced course of the Bill Shirk School of Broadcasting. And that course, because he's standing right behind you the first time you're leaving a talk set or, yeah, bringing in and taking off of the song. He stands right behind you.
No pressure.
No pressure at all. And he's screaming all the time, "Just talk, just talk. Don't do that." And it's like, oh my gosh. It's a whole different type of public speaking.
Bill Shirk, Broadcasting 101.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, he had all the people listening. He came up with a brochure for it.
Oh,
yeah, because he was actually going to do it, but he didn't get much response from it, I guess.
And
one of his graduates was David Letterman, because he was at WERK and all that. And according to Bill, and Bill trained him and got him going on his career and all that, according to Bill. So,
wow.
Yeah, so it's like...
Fascinating.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. That's... the radio business, it's a whole, and, you know, it's different. Like Cheryl pointed out to me, she says, well, when we do public speaking, that's entirely different than doing radio because, well, for one thing, you slow down.
I have to get back on him to slow down for the animal show because he'll get in the mode of what you guys get into, the radio mode.
Yeah, it's a whole different.
Did you start in radio in high school? You said your girlfriend when you were dating in high school.
Well, I was working part time. What happened was I actually got into I had an uncle that was a really good public speaker. He had a great voice, and he was vice president and manager of computer operations for Life and Casualty at their headquarters in Nashville. So he was a big shot, but he was a great public speaker, very charismatic. He was the kind of guy that lit up a room when he came in, you know. Not that I'm that kind of guy, but he was. And he had a wonderful voice, a very pleasant voice. And so I always admired him. And I wanted to do some kind of speaking, maybe radio. I wasn't sure. So in high school, I volunteered to do the PA announcements every day.
Yeah.
And I did those. That's how I started. And then I started videotaping the games, you know, that the coaches would look at and kind of review with the team and so forth.
Oh, yeah.
And I started doing play-by-play on those, but I was cracking jokes and making fun of the other team. And it became so disruptive for their training, the coach turned the audio down. He kept asking me, stop doing that. It's distracting for the players. They're not paying attention to what I'm telling them. They're listening to you. I'm waiting for the next joke. He said, stop doing that. I didn't stop. So they just started turning the audio down. So I was
serious.
Doing play-by-play, but they weren't listening to it anymore. So that's how I started. And the same thing on the PA. I would crack a few jokes. So that's really where I started.
I think that's great. I spent a couple of years – finished at Ben Davis High School in Indianapolis, and they had a radio station. And again, you know, the guys are like you. They did the morning announcements and the sports and stuff. But I think that's, you get in it young, and it just becomes your life. I mean, if you're called to it, especially.
Yeah, I think you're right. And yeah,
you do it because chicks dig it. Is that the truth?
Well, I'll tell you what, you know, it's like Shirk said, he told that story about Tom Cochran telling him, you know, you need to get into radio because the chicks will dig you, you know, be able to get all kinds of women. And it really was true, at least back in the late 70s and early 80s. There's not such a fascination with the radio anymore, but at that time, you still had a lot of groupies, boy. Yes, I'll have to tell some stories, but I'll tell them to Larry off the air.
Oh.
Yeah, that's that'd be fun. You know, the SRI label has a wide variety of music. Hey, you're gonna dig this one here, Dig. Man, what a geeky thing to say. You're gonna dig this tune. We're gonna play, man.
Hey, babies.
Oh, I guarantee you might want to think about this for Rewind Weekends, Randy. Take a special listen to it, because this is something I don't think many people heard. It's in the SRI catalog. And our dear friend Shelley Leibowitz says they have over 7,000 songs. So for him to pick this one out amongst 7,000 that he owns.
Truth, he has quite the sense of humor.
Remember Tiptoe Through the Tulips, Tiny Tim?
Yes.
He's worried now.
Randy's now starting to get worried. Well, our dear friend Shelley Leibowitz produced a song with Tiny Tim. They became good friends. Do you remember that old song called They're Coming to Take Me Away?
Yes, it was. I used to listen to it on Dr. Demento all the time. I can't think of who sang that song.
Well, Tiny Tim redid it. And under a format that many of us may remember and would soon forget, disco. Tiny Tim doing a disco. Well, they're coming to take us away.
You only get that here.
And I got on my knees and begged you not to leave, because I'd go but first. Well, you left me anyhow, and then the days got worse, and worse, and now you see I've gone completely out of my mind. Beautiful all the time, and I'll be happy to see those nice young men in their clean white coats.
Oh, I love those white coats.
You thought it was a joke, and so you laughed and laughed when I had said that losing you would make me lift my lid. Right? You know you laugh, I heard you laugh, you laugh and laugh and laugh, and now you see my dog completely out of my mind. Weavers who sit and stare and twiddle their thumbs and their toes. Love, love, love. I cook your food, I clean your house, and this is how you pay me back for all those kind of selfish loving deeds. Ha! Well, you just wait, they'll find you yet, and when they do, they'll put you in the ASPCA. You may be mine.
Local news, sports, weather, and breaking events. Your mom keeps you informed. Radio Mom, 91.1 FM.
Our guest, Randy. What about that tune there, Randy?
Yeah, that's MJ.
Yeah.
You mean the song. Who was the original on that song, by the way?
Oh, I don't know.
That surprised me.
What?
No, I usually don't know that old music trivia, but I could not tell you who did that. Well, and by the way, the Radio Mom voice is fantastic. Who does that? People should know.
That's MJ on the Radio Mom voice. She's out of Louisiana.
Oh, really? Well, she does have a... She does have... I thought she lived here. My goodness.
No.
Oh man, we scored. Absolutely. I had no idea. I thought she lived here.
By the way, the original They're Coming to Take Me Away was done by Napoleon the Fourth. Napoleon the 14th, rather.
What year was that released? Does it say?
Oh, you would have to ask that. I don't know offhand.
Yeah.
it would have been the early 70s, I think.
Oh,
but
early?
I'm not sure.
I'm thinking maybe a 6 to midnight slot for that song.
Well,
not
the time. Well, somebody picked the perfect person to remake that with the voice of Tiny Tim.
Yeah. That's the genius of Shelley Leibowitz. I mean, the man is phenomenal. But, yeah, we love Shelley.
Yeah.
So you get into the radio thing. Now, this may be a difficult question to ask. I don't know.
It's probably easy to ask, hard to answer.
That's what I was looking for. Yeah, thank you, Cheryl. She helps me a lot with this deal.
Yeah.
It'd be a mess without her. I'm telling you that right
it's
now.
It's a mess with me.
But do you remember this one particular conversation or interview or wordplay with someone that was exceptionally annoying in your career? Now I'm excluding Carney.
And yourself.
You're talking about like maybe somebody that interviewed on the air or something, or interaction with an employee or a supervisor or
which would be what story would be the most satisfying for you to tell? Let me put it that way.
I like that satisfying.
I'm trying to think. There are a lot of them. I interviewed Willard Scott when I was stationed in Panama. I talked to Willard Scott, and that was a lot of fun. And he was just as affable and charming as he is on television. And he wasn't feeling real good. He was in a chopper. He had been flown in for the USO, and I talked to him for television because I was a TV reporter for Armed Forces Radio and Television, as well as an announcer on the radio.
Oh,
I did
man.
Mornings in Panama for years and Turkey as well. And he was very friendly. He was walking with a cane because he was on the verge of having knee surgery. And, you know, Willard's still alive, too. He's still around. Not doing much work anymore, but he's still around. And I got the chance to meet and talk to interview General Manuel Noriega. It wasn't on the air, but it was as a broadcaster. I had a camera over my shoulder. What happened was this was during the lead up to the invasion of Panama, and we had pranked a couple of things happened actually. We had a Navy petty officer. His name was Barry. I'll just leave it at that. But Barry did the nightly news, and he really thought he was something. He thought he was the big stuff. He was kind of a Ted Baxter kind of guy. We sent Barry down to Panama City, and we told him we were going to upload this video to CNN. It was going to be worldwide, so he thought he was going worldwide. And we had him stand in front of a wall on Avenue de Balboa at the park, at Balboa Park, which said "Fuera Yankee, get out Yankees," and "Gringo, go home." And he did this. He was very pensive, but he did this stand up, this bridge, live. You know, and we recorded it, and later told him we were going to upload it to CNN. But the whole thing was, we got him to do it because he thought it was going to CNN. He wouldn't have done it otherwise. So, but I met Noriega. What happened was, I had a boss, Sergeant First Class. I was in the Air Force, but I was in a multi-service command. I had a supervisor, Sergeant First Class, who said, "You speak Spanish. Let's go down." I mean, Noriega's troops were parachuting into the Panamanian side of Albuquerque Air Force Station. This is after things had heated up with the U.S., and we were on the verge of invasion. And I said, "I don't think it's a good idea." He said, "Oh, come on." He said, I'll videotape the whole thing, and you just talk to him. I'll just have the camera over your shoulder." So I don't know if you ever recall, probably not, but But some may recall some video of Noriega through a chain link fence that was all over television back during the invasion period when they were showing stock video of Noriega. That was my video, and I was the one talking to him. Yeah, and but he walked up. He had an Israeli, beautiful Israeli bodyguard that was about 6'2", female, and then he had his security officer with him and a whole entourage. And he walked up, and I didn't speak much Spanish at the time, but I said, Señor General, you know, Mr. General, mucho gusto. And he said, mucho gusto. Good to meet you. Pleased to meet you. And I said, ¿te fuiste? I didn't know how to say, did you jump out of the airplane or did you parachute? I just said, ¿te fuiste? Yeah. Did you go? And he said, sí, el primer avión, the first plane. And I said, oh, okay, bueno, that's good. And he said, sí, but he said, la brisa está muy fuerte. He said, the breeze is very strong today, which is why his PDF officers that were parachuting were hung up in our light fixtures, street lights, on the American side. And we had to get cherry pickers to get him out. And he was a little embarrassed. And but he was very friendly, very cordial. He's about my height. I'm only 5'5 and a half. And stocky like me. And but he was a very cordial guy. And that was, you know, my meeting with General Noriega. So...
Yeah,
you know, when you think of dictators, you don't think of them being cordial.
No, I'm sure he was a complete horse's, you know, hind end. But it was said that he would travel in a series of three limos, a technique that he got from the United States when we fly in high level officers. There's usually multiple choppers they fly in, and nobody seems to know which chopper the general's in, you know. It's kind of how he did with his limos. He would three or four limos, and he'd be in one of them, but nobody ever knew which one he was in. But he would occasionally stop his entourage and see an attractive girl in the street, or perhaps even a boy, and have them fetch that person for him and then go on his merry way. So he was a pretty ruthless guy.
Well, then, you know, it's interesting you had the bodyguard that was a gal. It's kind of, it throws you off a little. You always think a big guy would be, you know?
Yeah, well, the Israelis, at that time, the highest concentration of Libyan nationals outside of Libya was in the Republic of Panama. And the same thing with Cuban nationals, because he had cozied up to Libya and the Cubans because they were, of course, on the outs with the U.S., so they were his friend now. And he was really tight with the Israelis too, and but you know the Israelis, the Israeli Armed Forces is very sharp. Their intelligence service is very sharp. We actually rely on them a lot, and females are a huge part of the military. In fact, there's inscription. If I'm not mistaken, they still have to serve in the military before they move on with the rest of their life. You know, once they get out of high school, they go right to the military.
That's amazing.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, we used to go, well, we still do, but we haven't in a while, go to the National Conservation Training Center. It's the training facility for the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. It's located in Shepherdstown, West Virginia, just outside of Washington, D.C., well, about an hour from Washington, D.C. And we'd go in there each year to do programs for their open house, for their animals. Well, they were talking about the recent summit that they had there with several of the Israeli leaders, or Mideastern leaders, I should say, and that's when Clinton was president, and Bill Clinton. And he said it was the strangest thing because the Israeli Secret Service got there a month before the actual meeting. Came to the facility. Were there a month beforehand. And he said what was really weird, they were introduced to none of them. There was no conversation with any of them. And after about the second week, these guys would walk around. And if they saw you, they'd call you by name. They knew your name. And they said that was wild. And he said, by far, of all the people, the guards and Secret Service and law enforcement people that came in there, the Israelis were the most impressive, I guess. So it was it's pretty wild. That's interesting.
Yeah, I just
Go ahead. No, you go ahead. You're the guest.
Well, I was just going to say, I just saw the, I think it's called Operation Finale, the movie about the capture of Adolf Eichmann in Argentina.
Yeah.
And it's pretty fascinating if you get a chance to watch it. But it's about Israeli intelligence tracking him down and then capturing him. And what a close call, in fact, it was.
Even getting.
Man, that's scary stuff. I want to thank you for your service, Mike. We didn't mention that at the start of the program.
But that's not in your paragraph that you kept messing up.
I know. I got to rewrite that paragraph. Now we got to thank you for service. We got the classic hits of the 70s, 80s, and 90s.
Yeah.
I know there's some more stuff I could put in that thing. So I could really flip-flop on the darn words. I mean, it's like, oh, my God. Oh. Hey, you know Phil Collins is getting ready to go on tour, Randy.
You know I'm a big Phil Collins fan.
Well, I have to tell you, a friend of the show, in fact, he was on a couple of weeks, is Richie Garcia. He's also in the SRI record label's catalog. Shelly that's what they released all of his albums. And he's right now in rehearsals with Phil Collins, and they're going to go on tour this fall.
That's exciting because I know that Phil had some hearing issues. I don't know if he's got a cochlear implant or what, but there was a point in time where he said he was giving it up several years ago after the motion picture soundtracks he did. And, but I guess, you know, he came back with his greatest hits CD and started performing on that to sell it. And I'm glad he's back because I thought he was gone.
Well, the problem is, though, is that all those years playing drums for Genesis and his solo stuff, his back is gone. He can no longer play drums. He basically sits in a chair or on a stool. But the cool thing about Richie Garcia is he's a conga player. He's going to be playing congas on Phil's tour. So he was giving us a slowdown. He called us when he got off the plane, and then he talked to us when he's on the bus, and he said, Olivia, I think the people don't want to hear my biography. Maybe we ought to do this interview another time. So, yes, talking about something. So, from the SRI label group, and he's a really nice guy, so we're going to have him back on the show because we want to hear all this stuff about the Phil Collins tour, because that's very cool. Here's Richie Garcia from the SRI Label Group here on Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
Hi, everyone. This is Shelley Leibowitz, and you're listening to my friends Cheryl and Larry Batson on Animal Tracks here on Blog Talk Radio.
The SRI Label Group is our underwriter for Wild World's Animal Tracks on Blog Talk Radio. The SRI Label Group is for people that love all music, rock, jazz, blues, country. It's all there. Artists and their classic recordings, the best of ELO. Little Richard Live, Chambers Brothers, Hall & Oates, a catalog of thousands of recordings available for download or, hey, just to listen to. Explore an amazing music collection at the best musical site, the SRI Label Group. Check it out today, srirecords.com. Our guest, broadcaster Randy Lawson, and my boss on Radio Mom 91.1 FM. In fact, I'm on right now. How does that happen? It's magic. They go to radiomom.fm. Yeah, they go there right now. They can listen to Rewind Weekend. It is Saturday. I've lost track of day.
It is Saturday, and it's working.
Oh, my gosh. You know, that was pretty much genius format, though, Randy. I'm telling you that right now.
Well, I didn't really invent anything. I just put some things together. But we do enjoy it. You know, I had heard a station in Clarksville, Tennessee, where my daughter lives. And they were doing a rewind format, they called it. And it's 70s, 80s. It's 80s and 90s, I think, is what they do. But I had to include the 70s. And we do, on the rewind weekend, we do, I think it's 470 songs an hour, 480 songs, maybe five, and then 190 song an hour.
Yeah.
And It works out pretty good mixing the 80s, 70s, and 80s. It's difficult to work in the 90s sometimes, you know, with those other two decades.
Yeah. Well, and then plus we put a taste of some of the really, really classic rock recordings from the 60s, you know, from the Beatles and the Kinks and the Rolling Stones. I mean, that to me just...
That was your idea, and we call it a mega hit. You wanted to call it a monster hit, but we end up calling it a mega hit, too big to be left out. And but it was your idea to add some of those in some way, and it worked out really good.
Because my idea, well, it wasn't genius then. I take that part back. I just wanted to hear them. There was no genius involved with that now. I take that all back. So
Remember the guy Roy Head, H-E-A-D, Roy Head and the Traits?
Yeah.
And Roy's still around. He's from Texas, you know. He did the song Treat Her Right.
Oh, yeah.
I'll tell you a story about a girl I know.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you want a little loving, you got to start real slow. Well, that song, it's only real hit. But he's a great, you know, sort of blues and rock and blues singer. He's just really good. Even today, he's not too bad for a guy that's, I think, pushing 80. But he used to actually do if you look on YouTube, you can find it. He actually does a flip off stage when he was performing that song. He was very, very flexible. It was amazing how he could dance. He did the splits. He'd flip up and down, upside down. He'd roll off stage and land on the floor below. And it was amazing what he did. Anyway, I liked the song. And so when I was stationed in Panama one morning, every half hour, I had a liner that I produced with Echo, and it said, "It's a Roy Head morning on SCN." And every half hour, I'd play that same song over and over all morning long for 4 hours. And yeah, I got some response, but I would echo, "A Roy Head morning." And that was a lot of fun. So. Yeah,
so you're the one
of my favorites.
From Panama, then.
What's that?
So you're the one that instigated our conflict with Panama.
You know, it's funny you say that because when we were leading up to the invasion of Panama, and I was sure it was going to happen while I was there, but we were actually evacuated. Anybody who had dependents there, family, was evacuated. Yeah. So within a few weeks after us leaving, the invasion happened. But leading up to it, we were taunting Noriega. And I came up with a playlist that was 3 or 4 pages long that was all, you know, Dictator by The Clash, Sunday Bloody Sunday by U2, everything that was anti-dictator or, you know, It was designed to really taunt him. And he didn't like rock and roll either. Noriega didn't like rock and roll. So, but he couldn't control the U.S. forces broadcasts. There was no way he could control them. So I put this playlist together. When I left, that's the playlist they used when they were blaring the music outside the Papal Nuncio in Panama City where he was hiding. That's the playlist they used. I'm sure they added to it, but that's the playlist I was told they used. I left it behind.
Oh. Yeah.
That probably did it.
By God, thank you for your service. My Lord, I'm so proud. It's fantastic.
That's right. Me and my psychological operations, and I still use them today.
He's been playing me all along. the 60 mega hits was a genius. That was genius.
Believe that.
So, you know, wait a minute. I have a concept. Maybe the, like, 4 in the morning till 6 o'clock time slot, we could play those tunes and call the, what could we call it? Something Noriega.
Yeah.
I know. Music for Manuel.
Yeah.
4 to 6.
Manuel's mood music. You know, I'll have to bring it into the station sometime. I've got a machete. There was video, if you remember, when Noriega was in charge. He would bang a machete on the podium and scream about the U.S. He called the machete a dignity. La machete de dignidad. The machete of dignity. Well, he made about 100 of those, numbered them, and gave them to his top staff. Well, my brother-in-law at the time, I was married to a Panamanian woman. My brother-in-law at the time was a subteniente. His office was 2 doors down from Noriega's in the Comandancia. And he was awarded one of those. I think I've got number 42. When I left Panama, my brother-in-law gave it to me. He said, I want you to have this. I said, oh, my goodness, I couldn't take this. You know, it's one of 100, maybe. He said, no, I want you to have it. I don't like him. And they used to call him the gallina, the chicken. And the people in the administration didn't like him, called him a gallina. He looked like a gallina up there banging the, a chicken up there banging the machete. So he gave me the machete, and I have it today. It's on display at my house. So I'll bring it in one day so you can see it.
Oh, yeah. Hey, you know what you ought to do for fun? You ought to put it on, what's the auction site? Just curious how much that's probably worth a great deal of money. Yeah.
It might be. I don't know.
It just, you know, it wouldn't have to.
Especially
with
number.
Yeah, put a picture of it and the number on it and all the.
Just Google, you could probably find it.
Well, you probably could, the value of that, just Googling it.
You could find the value.
Because that's beyond cool. Because some of these war nuts, they'd want that. They'd want that for darn sure.
Yeah, yeah, I'll
sell that. Well, I know he didn't.
Yeah, maybe.
It's
got the seal of the country of Panama emblazoned in it in color.
Yeah.
And then it's got the, in the actual blade, and it's got the seal of the defense forces and then the Panamanian flag.
Pretty wild.
Wow. You ought to share that with Scott Carney so the next time you have a conflict, he'll think twice. Get you a podium now. Bang it up. You know, he got upset with me one time. Well, more than one time. But when I first started, I really thought it would be funny to give out his home phone as a request line. And he failed to see any humor in that whatsoever. Yeah.
What's wrong
with
him? That's funny. That's funny right there.
Yeah, I think he did get calls. I think that's what, because he never answers his phone, I don't think. But yeah, that's what I thought. I thought that's funny. Well, the people don't know, Scott Carney is essentially the voice of Boone County. He does all the basketball and football games and so forth. And we got him one day. Now, this is a broadcasting story. I told him one time, I said, hey, you know, the seniors, the older kids of Boone County, Weebos, they've got a new drinking game. He goes, what's that? He says, they have to drink a shot of whiskey or tequila or something every time you say, we're going to step outside. And when he's calling a football or baseball or women's softball. And he looks clowns at me, and he gave me the dirtiest look. He says, no. I said, yeah, it's true. It's a regular drinking game. It's called Step Aside. So, yeah, I didn't hear it. I'd listen to the broadcast. Though he's really good. I don't want to give people the idea that he is a talented broadcaster. He's fantastic on baseball.
Yeah, he does
a
great job on sports, and but he takes things rather seriously.
Doesn't have a sense of humor.
You know, his sense of humor is about a two. And I offered my services one time, Randy, to help him with the broadcast of women's basketball or softball. I'd be the his expert commentator.
Right.
And I have not gotten that phone call yet. Which is really kind of depressing.
I wouldn't hold my breath.
But you did sports. That's a whole different deal, isn't it?
Yeah, and I'm not very good in that area because I'm not a huge sports fan. I'm a very, very occasional viewer of sports, so I don't know enough about it to call the game, and certainly not enough to really do color either. So and one time I was working for another company before I bought radio stations, and my friend said, you know, I don't have anybody to do color on the girls' soccer game, tournament game tonight. You might help me out. And I said, yeah, I'll give you a hand. How tough could it be? It was horrible. People complained. People complained to the station about me, and I never did it again. I think the comment they made was, who was that joker on the radio doing color commentary?
That's Scott Carney's brother.
That's right.
Oh, it couldn't be back then. No, that's oh, that's, well, at least you knew you had listeners. I mean,
yeah, I was. I haven't done sports play by player color since. That's been 15, 16 years.
Yeah. Well, I was asked to recite the national anthem. What was it for? I didn't even tell Cheryl this story. For a basketball game for ex-Lebanon basketball players, and come back for this game. And Jim Johnson and I were in charge of the commentation for this, or commentary. In other words, make fun of these old guys that used to play basketball. And I got halfway through the Pledge of Allegiance, and I went blank. And I couldn't think of it, so I cut it short. Of course, and I decided after that I was no longer going. That was about 4 or 5 years. And, you know, that Jim Johnson never even offered to help me at all. I tapped him on the arm. I forgot. I forgot the darn Pledge of Allegiance to the flag.
You should have to do that. Everybody.
Well, what happened is I was doing a morning thing with Carney on Wednesdays. He'd come up with some stupid wildlife story, and I'd make a comment about it. And as soon as he called me that next day after this had happened, he called up and he started reciting it to me. I wanted to punch him.
Oh, well, you should have known that. But you're supposed to write that stuff down.
Well, I know, because that's happened to so many people, you know, singing the national anthem. And in fact, I saw the other day on some entertainment show, a big celebrity did the Pledge of Allegiance, and she forgot. She said, when she forgot, she goes, lying. Of course, that's what they always say, they forget to lie. Lying. So it was embarrassing. Mm-hmm. So what's up your sleeve? Maybe I shouldn't ask. Radio empire you built here in Indiana.
Well, I mean, we're still attempting to grow, and we're working on it. So I can't say much more than that. But we do have plans going forward. So, for Radio Mom and otherwise, we're working on a couple of different projects. But I can't say much about it. But you know, as far as that goes, and you know, then I have the production company too, which. I don't know how much you knew about that, but I serve about 185 stations in Canada, the Virgin Islands, Puerto Rico, and coast to coast, doing production for them. Commercials.
Right. Well, I didn't realize it was that. I knew you did that, but I had not a clue that it was that big. That's impressive. My gosh.
Yeah, that's my primary source of income, and so there's, I think, 29 or 30 stations in Canada now, and we do all of the network TV stations in the Virgin Islands of Puerto Rico. They're owned by the same company, and so we do all their audio voice work, and or most of it, their legal IDs on the air and all that good stuff, and then the remaining stations, probably about 140 or so, 150 coast to coast, from Maine clear down to California and up to Washington State and Florida. So, yeah.
So you have probably have a pretty impressive staff of broadcasters and the voices that you use. Do you do them all yourself?
No, I do have about 20 people that I farm stuff out to. I do about...
Yeah.
I used to do about half the voice work, and now I only do about maybe one-fifth or maybe a tenth of it. I don't know. Not nearly as much as I used to. And so I have a guy that's one of the voices of – well, he's the voice of the Larry the Cable Guy specials that are aired on CMT. He's the announcer voice that does the opens and closes and rejoins for that show. He's all
yeah.
the only country giant in Tennessee. He's part of the staff. I've got Ann and John Cinnamon, who worked Indianapolis radio for years.
Sure.
Jerry Curtis. My business partner, Brent Lee, who does a really good job. And just, the list goes on and on. There's a lot of really good, talented people there. You know, and they're the ones who really, make the company work. It's Lawson Productions, so
yeah,
they're the success.
Sure. Well, employees are the backbone, obviously, of any business. And when you were in college, did you think of doing that sort of thing? Was this something on your plate back then?
You know, I always had my goal. I told somebody early on, too, was to own my own radio station and have a production company as well that would operate out of the radio station. Well, it didn't really work out quite that way, but, I mean, I got the radio stations, but the production company operates out of my home, and that's really a much better fit, you know?
Sure.
And when I started in that business, though, it was just going to be me and the mic, you know? And I had a voice talent contact me and say, hey, how can I get on your website and maybe, you know, help you out? And I thought, well, you know, that's a possibility. And so I just handle all the assignments. Now I have 20 voices that I assign stuff to, and they send me the dry audio back, and I produce it, fully produce the commercials and send it back to the client with sound effects and music and the whole deal. So, yeah.
How long does it take to put something like that together? I mean, when from the initial idea and copy comes from the salespeople?
It's a work in progress all day long. I mean, but I can do, if I have the audio in hand from the talent and I've got the script in front of me, I can produce as many as, and not everybody can do this. I've been doing it so long is the reason I can do it. If you were brand new to this, it would take you...
Yeah.
I've had people fill in for me, and they take a lot longer. They could do maybe two or three commercials an hour. I do as many as 14 an hour, but that's all because I've been doing it. Yeah, I've been doing it for a long time. So if I get, 30 commercials in, I'm done typically within three and a half hours once I have all the materials. But, all day long, I'm assigning stuff. I'm on my phone making assignments, sending stuff out, and deciding who's going to do what. And then when I get back into the studio in the afternoon after being at the radio station, that's when I print all the copy and download all the audio from everybody that sent it back or waiting on it or whatever, and I begin producing. So the whole process takes a lot longer, than just 3.5 hours because you're waiting on audio to come back and da-da-da-da-da, so.
Production, that's what that's called.
Production, yeah.
Yeah. Well, for people that have never been involved doing anything like that, they don't have any idea how much work.
How many irons are in the fire?
How many irons are in the fire? Yeah, I know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, boss, yeah. It's great to have you on the program tonight. My gosh, what an interesting. We found out his military career, his broadcasting career, and stuff
and
that he's
chicks dig him.
And chicks dig him because he's a radio guy.
yeah, they do. That's me. I'm a chick diggy.
That's right.
Well, that's cool. Well, thanks.
That's why you have that machete.
That's why he's got the fight off women machete.
That's right.
That's new for sure, didn't he?
Oh my. Yeah, I'm really curious how much that's worth. That, but I too think it should be taken into the station. Every time Carney gets out of line, you get out that machete and you get on your.
Well, when you see it coming, I guess.
If I see it coming, what should I do?
Run.
Oh, my God.
We're in trouble then.
Well, I hope we can do this again sometime. This has been beyond fun.
Yeah, it's been a blast. I really enjoyed it. And I appreciate the two of you taking time to ask me on and talk to me. I really have enjoyed it.
Well, we appreciate that. We appreciate Randy Lawson. We appreciate Shelly Leibowitz. Hey, we're going to dig one out. I know this is on the Radio Mom playlist to finish up the episode of Animal Tracks, a little Cool in the Gang, Too Hot, right here on Blog Talk Radio from the SRI Label Group. Thanks, Randy.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Sweetheart, love was so brand new. We took shelter, gotta run for shade. It's too hot, so hot, lady. Gotta cool this anger. Oh, I've gotta cool this mess we made. It's so hot, baby. Is it so hot? I just can't take it. I can't stand no more, baby. We were once lovers. We took our vows. A man and wife forever. Whoa. Baby, please won't you listen? It burns me so bad.
Hi, everyone. This is Shelley Leibowitz, and you're listening to my friends Cheryl and Larry Batson on Animal Tracks here on Blog Talk Radio.